salvation, can it? Because salvation is easy. It's simple. So it's talking about discipleship. And we know from the Bible that the Lord Jesus places stringent demands on being a disciple. William Barclay, in his commentary, in his introduction to these verses here that we're looking at, he said there's always a certain dramatic quality about life. For all life concentrates on man at the crossroads. In every action of life, man is confronted with a choice. He must always take one or the other. John Stott, in his commentary, said Jesus cuts across our easygoing syncretism. He will not allow us the comfortable solution we propose. Instead, he insists that ultimately there's only one choice, because there are only two possibilities from which to choose. And then I particularly like this one, Warren Wiersbe. The two ways refer to two types of lifestyle: the easy, comfortable, popular life, or the difficult way of self-denial. One of two ways, and we must make the choice. Man in his life is always at the crossroads. Our lives ultimately are really the result of choices that we make every day of our lives. As we go along, we make those choices. They're being made all the time. We must choose. Just the fact that we're living and we're walking on this earth means that there are choices that we have to make. And of those choices we make, they're either for the broad way or they're for the narrow way. You may be thinking, well, preacher, I don't agree with you. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm not making a proposal. This is a fact of life. This is reality. It's not something where you can say, well, that's your opinion. This is a fact of life. You say, well, I never made a choice. Well, of course you do. You have to. If you're alive, you have to make choices. In all decisions, all choices, you choose either the broad way or the narrow way. Listen again to what Wiersbe said. The two ways refer to two types of lifestyle: the easy, comfortable, popular life, or the difficult way of self-denial. As a father, you make choices. As a husband, wife, mother, you make choices. As a family, choices are made. As a pastor, choices are made. Those choices represent either the narrow way or the broad way. Every church faces crossroads. The narrow way choices or broad way choices. A brother McMillan, when he's preaching, he will every now and then say, "Are you listening?" And so I want to borrow that term from him and ask, "Are you listening to what I'm saying? Amen. Are you listening tonight?" The narrow way is the Bible way. Amen. The broad way is the way of the world. Amen. I didn't make this up. Jesus did. He's the one that's giving this passage. Choices about the way you do missions. Yes. One of the main motivations for the beginning and the impetus for the Independent Baptist movement was because there were men back yonder who did not like the cooperative program method of supporting missions. And so they separated from the Southern Baptists and began promoting the Independent Baptist movement, because we do our missions the Bible way. The way the Apostle Paul and others did in the New Testament. You have to make choices about your music. Is it going to be God-honoring music, or is it going to be rock and roll music? Is it going to be music that glorifies the Lord, or is it going to be this progressive stuff? Junk that they're using now in most churches, and sad to say, most independent Baptist churches are now going the way of the world with the music, and the music is not the traditional music that most of us here tonight that we grew up on. You had to make choices about worship, how you do your worship. There are churches now that they do what they call praise and worship services. Well, I want to tell you that not everything that's called praise and worship is really praise and worship. And most of what I've seen of that, and I've never been in one of those services, but I've seen that some of it on television, and I don't think it's either praise or worship. So you make choice. You make choices about personal standards, either the narrow choice or the broad choice, unpopular or popular, hard or easy. Going the broad way is easy. There's nothing to forsake. There's nothing to leave. There's nothing to sacrifice. Just go. That's all. You just turn her loose, and you just go the easy way. But the end thereof is destruction. Destruction. Going the narrow way is hard. Takes decision. Takes focus. You don't stumble into the narrow way. You look back at chapter 5 in the Beatitudes in verse 3. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I think you probably have noticed already that this takes effort. This takes, you got to do something to do these. It's not just something that comes easily, but it's hard. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they are the prophets which were before you. You see, the narrow way has no room for extra baggage. There's no room for any junk. John Stott said, on the broad way, there are no fences. There are no walls. There are no boundaries. There's no curbs of either thought or conduct. There's room for great diversity. On the narrow, there are disciplines, there are limitations, there are boundaries, there are curbs, there are fences. It's easy to be saved, but it's hard to be the kind of disciple that the Lord wants us to be. You can be a Christian and not be a disciple. And so the Lord here is telling us that there are two ways. There are two crowds. He said there's the many and there's the few. On the broad way, you have the Joel Osteens. On the broad way, you have the Benny Hens. On the broad way, you have the Trinity Broadcasting Company. On the broad way, you have the Hollywood Christian. On the broad way, you have the Christian entertainers. On the broad way, you have the popular new evangelical crowd. You have the Laodicean age Christians. The other crowd is the few. These are called by the Broadway crowd, these are called legalists. These are called right wingers. These are called fundamentalists. And now there's a new term they've got for us. It's the King James Version only crowd. Amen. I was talking with a fellow the other day, he's a pastor there in Winter Haven, and he said, y'all are one of those King James Version only churches, aren't you? I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, you believe that the King James Version is the only version. I said, yeah, I guess I don't know if I've ever been called a King James Version only, but you know, we're guilty. We believe that it's the only one. I said, what do you use? And he said, well, we use several different versions. But that's all right if they want to call us King James Version only. I mean, it just makes sense if that's the only one you use, then, you know, that's the only one you use, right? So you don't have to be real smart to determine that. So he said there are two crowds, there are two destinations. He's not talking about heaven or hell. He's talking about destruction. And that word, destruction, is an interesting word. I looked it up in Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words. He said that the word destruction here, the idea is not extinction, but ruin, loss. Not of being, but of well-being. It's not talking about annihilation, but it's talking about not being all that you ought to be, and it's talking about loss of well-being. I was talking with a fellow one time. He was a retired Southern Baptist evangelist, and he told me, he said, I got saved and he named an independent Baptist church. He said, I was saved when I was 14 years old, but he said my family were members of a Southern Baptist church, so he said they insisted that I go there. He had ridden the bus to this independent Baptist church where he got saved. And so he said, I got in there and then went to a Southern Baptist seminary and went into the ministry. And so he said, I think for like 25 or 30 years, he'd been a Southern Baptist evangelist. And he said, you know, I have never felt fulfilled. I've never felt like I was doing what God wanted me to do. And he said, here I am at the end of my life now, retired and an old man. And yet I don't have that sense that really I've accomplished what God wanted me to accomplish. You see, on the broad way, it's easy to go that way, but there's no sense of fulfillment there. The end thereof are the ways of destruction. You know, you're not going to feel, when you get down to the end of life there, you're not going to feel good about yourself. When you know that you haven't done right, you've not gone the narrow way. A person will make a bad choice and then another until one day, true to Jesus' words, he's destroyed. Same thing happens with a family. Same things happen with a church. Someone said everything in this world has two aspects, how it looks at the time and then how it will look in the days hereafter. Have you ever made a choice, ever made a decision? The right then it seemed like, you know, this is the right way to go. This is the right thing to do. But then later on, you realize this was not the right decision. This was not the right choice. I worked for 10 years. I worked at the Martin Company. It's now called Martin Lockheed in Orlando. And it was in the space industry. What we did there at the plant had to do with the space industry. So when they would be putting together these parts, I'd call them parts, you had to look at them through a microscope. They were so small. But everything, it had to be so minute, that so carefully done. My part in it was my job was to keep the temperature and humidity and the cleanliness of air at a certain standard. The temperature could not vary more than plus or minus 2 degrees because that would cause those parts to expand or contract. So it had to be strict. Same with the humidity, same with the cleanliness. The filtering systems were amazing. There was not even any thing that you could even measure, much less see in the air. It had to be just right. And in these guidance systems they'd put into these missiles and rockets and all those things, they had to be very precise. They said if you're off even like, and I'll just use a figure, I don't remember, but 10 thousandths of a millimeter, you start out here, and that you shoot that thing off, and you're aiming for the moon. Right now, it might be 10 thousandths of a millimeter off, but by the time it gets up there a few miles, it'll be 10,000 miles off. You see, it's important how you start out. It's important that you make the choices for the right thing. When I was in Bible college, the fellow I worked with, we were going to replace a roof on an old farmhouse, a three-story farmhouse out near Joplin, Missouri. And I never had done anything like that. I just assumed you'd start at the top and work to the bottom. But he told me, no, you don't do that. When you're putting shingles on a roof, you start at the bottom, work it to the top. And he said, now you be very careful when you put that first shingle on, you be sure that that second shingle is exactly butted up to the first one, third to the second, and fourth to the third, and all the way down. And I had to go back two or three times and redo them, because I didn't notice it with the naked eye, I'd be off a little bit with that second one butted up against the first. And it wouldn't be very long until you're off a whole lot. The further you'd go, you were off a whole lot. So you have to exercise caution in choices. What may seem like a good choice in the beginning may turn out to miss the mark. Human nature does not gravitate to the narrow way. The natural tendency is to the broad way. See, that's the easy way. There's no conflict. There's no competition. It's just easy to go that way. It's easier to get away from what we don't like. It's unpleasant. Most of us don't like, to engage in things that are not pleasant. We don't like controversy. Most of us don't. But sometimes you have to face the controversy. Sometimes you have to do the hard thing in order to do the right thing. Who would ever have thought a few years ago that we would have all of these different versions of the Bible? I was talking with Brother Tony, our associate there at our church, and I was telling him about when I first started pastoring in 1971. Where I was, anyway, I don't know how it was here or maybe in other places, but there was no controversy about the King James Version of the Bible. Everybody, even the Methodists, used the King James Version. And there was no controversy about it then. But the first thing of course, years ago, the RSV, the National Council of Churches, came out with the RSV. And then the first thing now they're coming with these different versions, the NIV, the non-inspired version, and all of these others. And they kind of snuck in. They started sneaking it into Bible colleges, started sneaking it into different churches. And now you've got how many? It seems like every month they come out with a new version. They have a gender-neutral version of the Bible. I was reading not long ago that now they have a version of the Bible for your dog, your pets. They have a teenage Bible. I'm serious. I read that they have all these different versions of the Bible. Who would have ever thought that we'd have to deal with the version issue 30, 40 years ago? Now it is an issue. And you have to make the choice of whether you're going to take the narrow choice or you're going to take the broad choice. Several years ago, Robert Bork, who had been nominated to the Supreme Court, wrote a book called Slouching Towards Gomorrah. And he gave, in one of the chapters there, he was talking about when you give in to what may seem like some little thing. It's just some little thing that you give into as far as worldly things that are worldly and things like that. When you do that, then you open up the door to bigger things, more things, worse things. It starts out very small, but before you know it, it's destruction. It's destruction. So you have to be careful. The Wall Street Journal said that the version issue is all about money. Right. Now, the Wall Street Journal said that. Amen. I've heard of some independent Baptist preachers that don't know that. Amen. It's about money. Who would have ever believed that we'd come to the place to where Roman Catholics and Southern Baptists, Independent Baptists, Charismatics, and every other brand of Christianity would support a Promise Keepers meeting. Who would have believed that Roman Catholics and Mormons and Southern Baptists and Independent Baptists and Vineyard Pentecostals and Charismatics would gather in a football station holding hands to worship together to ear-splitting rock and roll music? Who would have believed that? Who would have thought a religious institution, so-called fundamental institution, would hire a Muslim professor? Who would have thought that another Bible institute would ever, in their advertisements for their college, would advertise that they had co-ed dormitories, and that the institution, this was not your ordinary institute? Well, thank God for that. It's not ordinary. We had there's a church there in Winter Haven that a while back they were advertising, "We are not your grandma's church." And so I told I said, "Put on our sign, we still believe like grandma." And we are your grandma's church. I don't see anything wrong with the way that our forefathers did it. So I don't see why we would change. We made enough changes in our government. We sure don't need to be making changes in our churches. We have missionaries that come back from the foreign field, and they'll tell me, you know, some of the stuff, the churches that I go into that actually supporting churches that back years ago, you know, they were straight, they were good fundamental Bible preaching churches. He said the music that they use in their churches now is pathetic. Plato said all you have to do to check the temperature of a society or a person is to mark their music. And then some of these people try to tell us that music is neutral. What should influence our choices? Well, let me give you some things that should not influence our choices. First of all, the size of the crowd ought not to influence our choice. The crowd may be smaller on the narrow way, wouldn't you think? Because Jesus said, "Few there be that find it." Past history, that's important, but more important is, are we making narrow way choices now? Competitors, that shouldn't be reason we make our choices. I've never been really impressed with what the Charismatics are doing, or what the Southern Baptists are doing, or the church down the street or across town. That shouldn't determine what we do. The culture should not. Even in evangelical circles, they're finding out the culture would lead you astray. Our culture today is rotten. We talk about it, and I talk about it, and I preach, and I pray, Lord, help us to return to the old-time way. But I don't really believe it's going to happen. I think we've gone too far. I believe we will preach, and you hear others preaching. And I have myself. I said, if America doesn't turn back to God, God's going to judge America. I got news for you, my friend. God has already judged America. I was reading this article by a Presbyterian minister about the culture. He said, a pastor must study or become a sitting duck for the culture. This culture is an evil culture. This culture is the enemy. Through the media, through friends, we're constantly fed lies, and like most lies, are 90% truth. So you swallow the lie, and the next thing you know, you have blunted the cutting edge of the gospel. He said, it is my job as a pastor to be suspicious of the culture. That's a Presbyterian saying that. The dean of chaplains at Duke University said, some pastors think they must preach and address their culture. There was a time when I would have agreed to relate the gospel to contemporary culture. However, I've come to believe that that is our weakness rather than our strength. In leaning over to speak to the modern world, I fear we have fallen in. That's a Methodist. That's a Methodist said that. Now, it looks to me like if a Methodist recognized that, a Holy Ghost independent Baptist preacher ought to be able to recognize that. He went on, he said, when someone exclaimed, I've never heard anything like that, referring to the gospel message, I've never heard anything like that. He said, why would you hear it in a pagan environment? No, to hear this, you've got to get dressed and come to church on Sunday morning. The point is not to speak to the culture, but to change it. God's appointed means to produce change is called church, and God's way is called preaching. Amen. He said, the Broadway seems to be the place of freedom, of liberty. But the more one walks the Broadway, the more he finds that he's bound and a slave to the allurements of the Broadway, and he's not free at all. On the other hand, the longer one walks the narrow way, the more he finds true liberty, true freedom, and he sees the countless opportunities to serve and glorify God. When I first started pastoring, I had to make some choices. Brother Carter and I often talk about, back in the early days, things that we faced, and there were choices that we had to make. I mean, it was not, well, you know, I'll put that aside and I'll think about that later. No, there were choices we had to make. Some of them were hard. Some of them were not popular. But I've done my best, and I know Brother Carter's done his best to stick to those choices. Because we felt that we're in the choices we're making, we're being led by the Holy Spirit in that. And I want to say to you graduates here tonight, you've worked hard to receive your degree, whatever the degree is. And I want to encourage you to continue now to work even harder for your WD degree. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, the Lord said at the end of the Broadway, it's destruction. I'm not talking about annihilation or extinction, but destruction. I mean, you know, it's a wasted life, empty, nothing that has been accomplished for eternity's sake. But he said, on the narrow way, he said, the narrow way leadeth unto life. Now, see, again, it's not talking about heaven. We do have heaven waiting for us. But he says here, life, it leadeth unto life. And the Lord there was talking about a fulfilled life. He's talking about a life that is accomplishing the purpose for which God made you and God made me. Our purpose in life is to fulfill God's purpose for us. And I don't know whether you have determined at this point. I know sometimes even when young people are graduating from college, they still have not determined yet what course they're going to follow. But whatever it is that God leads you to do, whatever the ministry is that you're going to be engaged in, just remember, there's a narrow way and there's a broad way. And it's harder to choose the narrow way, but it's at the end of it, it's life, and throughout your life, it's a living a fulfilled life, a life that's pleasing to God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for these young people that are sitting here tonight that are graduating and about to embark on a new phase of their life. I pray that you'll help them. May they make good choices, right choices, and choices that will be pleasing to you. And even if those choices are hard, that they'll still choose the narrow way. They'll still choose the way that leadeth unto life. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What a blessing. Amen. Thank you, brother. At this time, we are going to move into our non-academic degrees, and we have several different degrees or non-academic awards that we give away for those. These are more of character for our young men and young ladies in our college. This is not necessarily only reserved for our graduates, but also for all our students at the Landmark Baptist College. However, this one is awarded to one of our graduates tonight, and this is the J.B. Buffington Award. If you did not know Brother Buffington, some of you young people may not know his name. He pastored the Calvary Baptist Church in Lakeland for many years. He was a fundamentalist of the fundamentalist, amen. And this is called the Fundamentalist Award. It reads this way: "Be it known to all that in recognition of his demonstrated love for God, the Holy Scriptures, and the local church, while standing firm for the Baptist distinctives and the fundamentals of the faith once delivered to the saints, the J.B. Buffington Award is presented to Trevor Cius this day." This award is precious to me. It's the same as the one, the J.B. Buffington Award was a blessing to me as well. I won that one as a graduate of the Landmark Baptist College. This one is a man that touched my life. This is the Dr. Gary Herring Award. And this is given to someone for exceptional compassion. And if you knew Dr. Herring loved people. And he was a fundamentalist of the fundamentalists as well, but he had great compassion on all those around him, loved to serve people, and we were thankful to be a part of his life while he was here. And tonight, this honor goes to, as I read it, "Be it known to all that in recognition of her demonstrated exceptional compassion and making a difference in the lives of those around her, the Dr. Gary Herring Award is presented to Lisa Howen this May 15th. This next award, all these are from people that were either members of our church and touched the college themselves, and I wish I had known this dear lady myself. She was previous to my tenure here at the college. This is the Shirley Fake Award, and this is for someone who goes out of their way to invest in the lives of our college students that help. And tonight, this award is going to go to a man and woman that are special in my life as well. And let me read you the Shirley Fake Award. It says, "Be it known to all that in recognition of their giving of themselves to make a difference in the lives of the students at Landmark Baptist College, the Shirley Fake Award is presented to Mr. and Mrs. Ken Lee, May 15th, 2016. Is Brother Ken here? Come on down, brother. We'll wait for you. Amen. These are for you. I don't think you want them. Amen. Brother Lee was taking care of the video for us. Thank you, brother. We do appreciate you and your wife and all that you've done for us this year. Includes our non-academic awards.
For the following awards, please come forward to receive your medallion. Got some hardware for you people here. In recognition of outstanding academic achievement, the year 2016 salutatorian of Landmark Baptist College is, wait for it, Mr. Daniel Gladue. Recognition of academic excellence, the highest grade point average, the year 2016 valedictorian for Landmark Baptist College is prettier than Daniel, Miss Brianna Davis.
Be it known to all that are present that upon recommendation of the faculty, upon the authority of the local church, and in the providence of God, the Landmark Baptist College confers these degrees with all rights, honors, and privileges and responsibilities thereunto pertaining. Our first degree tonight is an Associates of Arts in Christian Womanhood for Sabrina Ortiz. Earning a Bachelor's of Arts in Bible, Biblical Studies, Trevor Cius, summa cum laude. Earning a Bachelor's of Science in Christian Secondary Education is Brianna Davis, also graduating. Summa cum laude. Graduating with a Bachelor's of Arts in Bible Missions, Trevor Deneau. Graduating with Bachelor's of Science in Christian Elementary Education, Caldonia Franston, cum laude. Amen. Graduating with a Bachelor's of Arts in Bible Pastoral, Daniel Gladue, summa cum laude. Graduating with a Bachelor's of Arts in Bible, Local Church Ministries, Hector Rodriguez, summa cum laude.
day. I know without a doubt, around the throne the saints will bow and lay down every crown. How glorious that moment to see him face to face, to hear him say, "Well done, my child, you finished the race." But for now the sun's still rising, there's work to still be done. And while we're waiting for the promise of what is yet to come,
finish well every day that we are given. Finish well for the glory of his name. Finish strong until the Savior finally calls us home. Give it everything we have. Finish well.
There's no truth in saying we've seen our better days. These are the days to be courageous, bold and full of faith.
So wherever he may lead us, whatever it the cost,
let the church arise and lift the banner of the cross. Finish well every day that we are given. Finish well for the glory of his name. Finish strong until the Savior finally calls us home. Give it everything we have. Finish well every day that we are given. Finish well for the glory of his name. Finish well.
And pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity we have, dear Lord, for this occasion, dear Lord, graduation. We thank you for these seven individuals, dear Lord, that are graduating, getting ready to go out and to serve you. And we thank you for the time, the opportunity you've had for us to invest in them. We pray that they would, dear Lord, do well, that they would work well and finish well in the cause for you and their life for you. I pray all this in Jesus' wonderful holy name. Amen.
It is my great honor to present to you the graduating class of 2016. Thank you.
That's it, folks. You can come make some pictures down here. Don't forget, we have the fellowship over in the fellowship hall. They may have the side door locked, and you got to go around to the front to come in to line up with the tables. Perhaps that's the way it is. But appreciate you coming, and we're very proud of our college and the graduates tonight and all those that have gone before them. Thank you for coming so much. God bless you. You're dismissed.